What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 284, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Just another week, another podcast. It's good to go.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Another week, another podcast. I have a rant.
I was thinking too. It's crazy.
I have this rant that's totally non-tech related, but I'm going to tell it anyways because I went to go buy a new pair of shoes the other day, and I buy like shoes like, I don't know, like once a year, twice a year maybe, and I go to like a specific, like I go to like a shoe store. So I went to like DSW. I don't know if you've heard of DSW. Yeah, it's a shoe store.
Right.
And I went through and I didn't see anything. Well, where I live now, there's like this outdoor mall and it's like the only shoe store there. So I was like, oh, there's a Macy's. I go to Macy's and I haven't been to a Macy's in like.
We don't have a Macy's around here.
Yeah. Yeah. So I go in there and I'm like looking for the guy stuff. They have the guy stuff on the second level. And if you go to the second level, it's like nobody's there. There's like not a single person in the place. And then you like. The girls section downstairs has like some, like a ton of shoes. The guy section upstairs had like maybe 10 pairs of shoes. I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
I was it's so like mad.
Everywhere other than like Foot Locker and like athletic shoe places that are like that in malls, they usually have more men's shoes. But everywhere else, it's crazy. I know we have like a Dillard's. Do you know what Dillard's is? It's kind of like a Macy's, right?
Yeah.
We have a big outlet for them here, and they actually have some really great deals for clothes. But their shoe section is like that. It's like 150 feet of women's racks, just crammed with every style and size. You get to the men's, and you're like, well, here's the tens.
And it was like, so where I live, I've told you this, but like where I live is like all new construction, and this outdoor mall. Is like pretty new, you know what I mean? And the Macy's is pretty big, and like the men's, it was like a ghost town. Like half of it wasn't even full. It was like weird. It was like I was back in like the 90s or something. It was odd, man. It was just like I'm not a fan of department stores anyways. They just have too much stuff, and it's just never a good experience when you go in there, at least in my opinion. But that's my rant. That's my non-tech related rant for the week.
My last pair of shoes I bought online, like directly from like Nike.
Well, that's the thing. So there's certain pairs of shoes that I love, but these shoe companies, they sell them for a year and then you can't find them anymore.
Yeah, I hate that.
Because the shoes I actually have on right now are one of my favorites. And what are these? I think these are New Balance. I forget, but they're like awesome.
I know which ones they even are. I bet I know.
But they're like awesome, awesome. I'm not going to try to put my foot up the desk, but they're awesome athletic shoes. I love these, right? And when they came out, they initially were in three colors, and I got the gray, but there's also a blue and a white. And then I'm like, I'll just buy these pair, and then like in 6 months, I'll get the blue ones.
Yeah.
You know, 6 months,
they're gone.
Can't get them. They're gone. You can't order them online. You can't like you. It's like you can't even like even big online shoe places like Zappos can't get them on eBay. They're like gone. It's like they're just revolving thing of like new shoes. And it's like, no, I just want this one. That's the only one I want. I'll buy seven pairs. Yeah. And that's it.
Let me know. Yep.
Yeah. But
I know what you mean.
When you find something you like, it's very hard to. So for example, our friend Jack, he uses like the crappiest keyboard ever made. He uses like a ergonomic Microsoft keyboard, and obviously they don't make like the one that he uses is like old. It's like really old. They don't make it anymore, but like he went on eBay and bought like seven of them, and he has them just stacked up for when they die because he doesn't want to have to get it. I mean, you know how it is. With something that you use, you just want to use, like, if it's good, you just happens to everybody with a lot of things. So
it just means we're getting old. Well, they don't make them like they used to.
No, it's not that. It's just like you're comfortable with something. Right. It's just like this keyboard, which I talk about so many times, is like I can't stop using it because it's that good. You know what I mean? It's like, if you have something that you like, just like we posted on our social media picture of that old Logitech mouse that somebody was using for 14 years. It's like, if it's that good, you know what I mean? Yep.
If you can keep it working that long, more props to you.
Yeah, for sure. So anyways, guys, this, of course, is a tech podcast, even though we're talking about shoes and other stuff. But we have our show notes page, which I always talk about, which you guys can go ahead and follow along. It is in the description of the video, whether you're watching this on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. It is in the description, so you can go ahead and follow along and see everything that we are talking about this week. But Ryan, you took a look, and you even said it in the review. I've been wanting to get you on the standing desk thing. I like when you get a standing desk, it just makes you feel better. It's in my opinion, it's a good way to make the workday less monotonous. It just is it. And obviously I know that if I sit down for a long period of time, I'm more tired, but if I'm standing, it's a little different. You know what I mean? Sure. You're still tired, but like you're moving around a little bit. So you took a look at this adjustable standing desk from FlexiSpot, which I had never heard of before.
I keep having to tell myself like that's the name of the company. I had this other name in my head that I kept calling it when I was typing, and I was like, that's not right. It's not. It's this.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard of them either, but I was pretty impressed with their product, to say the least. Like Bob said, you know, he's kind of been that advocate for the standing desk. I was for a long time the advocate for the lightweight mouse, and he's jumped on board that and is a total fan, and I'm kind of moving towards that for the desk world. So what I looked at was the FlexiSpot's one of their Pro Series adjustable desks. And the nice thing about FlexiDesk and a lot of other companies, but on their website, that's what I keep calling them, is FlexiDesk. FlexiSpot, thank you. On their website, you can configure the desk with a lot of options. So, for example, I chose to go with a bamboo material top for a couple of reasons. I like the look of it. It has good durability, and I just wanted to try something different. And I chose a size that I thought would work well for my main use, which is going to be my remote work setup for when I'm working at home. So I chose a 48 by 24. My regular desk that I'm using here is 60 by 30. So it's pretty large in size. I wanted something smaller so that I couldn't actually clutter it up, but it was nice to have that option to choose a different size. So I got to choose my desk top material, the size of it, the legs that were used, and the color. So I like the ease of use as well. You know, you just like, oh, this is the color I want. Click, choose the legs I want. Click. You can add on accessories like a pedal bike that goes underneath so you can get some exercise when you're sitting. There's some cable management options as well. But it's really kind of cool. So I've got my configured desk here on the page. Overall, the price for my desk configuration is $450. You can get it a little cheaper if you go with a non-bamboo top. It saves you about $50. And I'll go into kind of the value towards the end, but I think it's a pretty fair price there. Came packaged nice and neat. It did ship separately. The base and legs frame came separate from the desktop itself. And man, those frames and everything are heavy. You've got those.
Oh, yeah.
This is a dual motor model. So it has a motor in each post that raises the desk up. So you've got some heft there. And that's good because this desk can lift up to 220 pounds. They make actually another model of frame and legs that can lift 275, I believe it was. But 220 pounds is plenty for what I'm doing. I mean, I set my kids on it and like was testing it, right? They don't weigh anywhere near 200 pounds, or even both of them is maybe 100 pounds. But yeah, no problem lifting all that gear.
Yeah, and that's a lot of people think that's the total weight capacity of the desk. That's the weight capacity that it will lift. It's not
right,
like, because I was worried about that, because I actually stand on this desk to put my blockers in, and I was like, wait a minute, I weigh this much and my computer weighs this much, this thing's gonna break. But no, it's the, like, if I was standing on this desk, it would not lift up. Right. You know, it's all, that's just based on the motors. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But it was nice. Everything was packaged great. No issues with any of the materials. And I think if it would have gotten, you know, scuffed up and bumped up during transit, I think all the components inside would have been great. You do have to assemble this, but assembly is super easy. Like the frame only took a couple bolts to tighten. They include the Allen head that you need in order to tighten and loosen those. You do require a screwdriver, which they don't include, but I don't know anybody that doesn't have a screwdriver. All the holes are pre-drilled for you, so everything just kind of lines up. It took me 20 to 30 minutes, I think, to put this desk together. I could have done it quicker, but I was really taking my time and obviously taking some photos along the way and wrangling my kids out of the way to keep them out, because they're like, ooh, cardboard boxes, can we build a fort? Yes, you can, but do it over there. I'm busy.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, putting it together is super easy. Connecting all the motors is super simple. You're just plugging in the cables to the holes that they fit. And off you go to the races, right? So here's a picture of the desk completed. There we go. So just that nice bamboo top, nice gray legs that are just very minimalist looking, right? There's nothing flashy about anything on this desk. And then you have the little control panel on the side there. Let me switch over here. So yeah, the control panel is really nice. It has your up and down button, so you can just kind of make those incremental adjustments up and down to your liking. It has three memory settings as well. So I have my desk set to be a sitting position as number one. I have a number two that's my comfortable standing position. And then number three, I just put to all the way up. And this desk raises pretty high, 46 and a half inches high at the highest. So what I found really nice with that height was getting underneath the desk and doing some of the cable management.
Yeah.
I didn't have to lay on the ground and like reach my arms really high up and stretch. I could just like crouch underneath and be closer and have plenty of room and not worry about it. So that was really nice. It also has this little alarm A button for an alarm. You can set a timer to like, really they say to remind you to get up and stretch or change the adjustment of your desk. But you could obviously use that alarm for anything, set a 15 minute timer to go check the laundry or whatever, but kind of a neat option there. And it is backlit. And there's a little screen here that shows the height. So you can set that. And then I've just got some photos of the setup. Like I said, I didn't go with a very deep desktop. I didn't want to have the option to put a bunch of stuff on my desk and have clutter. So I just tried to keep it as minimal as possible in this configuration here. Oops. Overall, though, I gave this a 10 out of 10 because I could not find a single thing wrong with the desk. I had no complaints at all. Putting it together was easy. Configuring it online was easy. Using it is simple. Like, there is nothing to complain about this desk. The price point, like I said, $449 with the bamboo top. But you can save around $50 by choosing like an MDF or particle board material that, you know, they've got multiple colors and finishes for. But they put on a nice coating on the bamboo that's scratch resistant, liquid resistant, insect resistant, right? You don't have to worry about any blemishes, and it's nice and sturdy. So I had absolutely no complaints with this. Gave it a 10 out of 10. I don't know that I'm fully converted. I'm not. I will say I'm not going to switch my main desk. I have too much. Well, for the size of things, too much here on the desk and too many cables hanging down that I don't know that it would be 100% in my best interest to do that. But if I had to, you know, like in that instance where I'm going to use it for my remote work, I'm so happy that I have it to be able to have the option to stand and sit, because that was nice when I was working remote during my testing period with it. I mean, yeah, sitting down is nice there, but then I could just get up, set the height, go to the bathroom, go get a drink or whatever, and then just come back and walk right at it. It was super comfy just standing there and typing, so much more than I thought it would be. I had, you know, used some height adjustable like desks and accessories at work, but they were never quite at the height or level I wanted, right? It was either something that was super heavy and big that sat on an existing desk and kind of raised up, but would shake a lot, you know, and then you're like trying to type and use the mouse and it's shaking, and then your screen's moving. Wasn't ever great. This is nice and sturdy, even at the highest height, right? I was a little worried that it was going to be topply, but no, it was super sturdy. So I'm a fan for sure.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the desks, in my experience, I think I reviewed four total.
Yeah, you've got a few under your belt.
Yeah, so the things that that would make them bad is obviously the tabletop. I have, and you can see behind me, like I have these cheap IKEA tabletops. Like those scratch so easily. It's like, because they're cheap. I think that tabletop was $9. You know what I mean? Yeah. So having a good tabletop, because you, a lot of people, I mean, $400, $450 for a desk is not, it's not inexpensive, put it that way, for a lot of people. Right. And, you know, you put it together and then you have this scratch, and obviously you're working there all day. That's all you're going to stare at is that scratch. So that's one of the big things. So it's good that, you know, you didn't have any of those issues. Secondly is obviously installation. I had one, I forget who made it, but it was like one of the hardest things I've ever had to put together. And I'm like, how is this even like a thing? Because your design, the leg design that you have is much like this one, like this autonomous one that I have. And it's very simple, very easy. The easiest one though was, I forget the name of the company, but like everything went in, like it was toolless installation. It was pretty awesome. Oh,
did it like snap into place or something?
Yeah, like the legs would snap in and you would just like press this lever down and tighten. It was really, really well thought out. Yeah. That one was the most expensive out of all of the ones that I reviewed.
This was just super easy to adjust and put together, you know, everything was solid. There wasn't anything that felt flimsy. Like,
yeah,
I was just getting the components out and going like, wow, okay, these feel really nice. They're painted nicely. Everything lined up well, right? If on some cheaper furniture, sometimes you're like, this hole doesn't seem to really, like, or you're like trying to flex a piece into place.
I had to do that recently. I had to do that. I bought some outdoor furniture for my balcony, and the piece was just made wrong. Like it was just, and I went through the directions like 7 times. I'm like, this can't, like, how is this so wrong? So I had to like bang it with a hammer to get everything to go in. It was,
yeah, there's no hammer required to put this desk together.
Yeah, so that's good. And like I said, I think, again, so many people sit all day, and that's just not good for you. Being able to, and again, you don't have to stand all day, but being able to, you know, be able to either sit in the morning and stand in the afternoon or vice versa, it's just always good. Or you can sit all day, and then the next day you feel a little better and you stand for an hour or whatever. Yeah. I used to have before, because I'm like really good at it now with like not sitting all day. But before, I used to have like in my checklist of stuff for the day, I'd have like stand for 1 hour a day. And that would be like my goal. And I would always, you know, do that. So it's just good to have the flexibility of it, I think.
Definitely.
Is the biggest thing. So go ahead and check that review out. I took a look at something that is right. Wait, this way. Why can't I do this?
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, it's like right back there. I put it in the shot so you guys can see, because this is a very, very big CPU cooler. And that is the Be Quiet Dark Rock TF2. Typically, when we have big high performance air coolers, they're tower coolers. That's all we usually see is tower cooler. But Be Quiet came out with their Dark Rock TF. This is the Dark Rock TF2, which is basically an upgrade. It comes with new Silent Wings 3 fan. They've reworked the heatsink, the mounting top cover as well, and make it easier to install. And I actually did a whole video on it. It is on our YouTube page if you want to check that out. You can go ahead and do that. But I'll go through the cooler here, and it is a big, big cooler. Here it is. And this is what I don't think anybody calls this a C style cooler, but I call it a C style because if you look at it, it's a C.
I think it's like a J.
Backwards it's a C.
J. I get it. Yep.
But this is like what your typical top flow cooler looks like. We have a larger heat sink at the top, smaller one at the bottom. And then we have 6 very large copper heat pipes that go from the top heat sink, go into the base of the cooler, and then actually 4 of them come out and go into the smaller heat sink. And then there's even a heat sink on top of the base of the cooler down here as well. So just a lot of space there. And then the way it works is you have 2 fans And they go on the top and bottom, and that is your cooler. And one of the cool things that Be Quiet has done is with this, you know, it's an all black cooler, but it's not just painted black. They use this, what do they call it? They use this ceramic particle coating, which is actually better for heat transfer. So not only it doesn't look cool being all black, but the particle paint or particle, whatever you want to, the coating, the particle coating is doing better heat transfer than just like a lot of companies just spray paint, you know, because this would just be either all copper or all like an aluminum color. So you have all of that. As far as insulation, I was worried because when it comes to big coolers, it sometimes things can be a little tricky, but it's really simple. We did our installation on an Intel system. Basically, you set up the backplate, you put it through your motherboard, you connect the spacers, and then from there, you put the Intel mounting brackets on, and then you place the cooler on top, putting your screwdriver down through the cooler, and the actual cooler has the screws on it, so you don't have to try to get a little screw down through there or anything like that, and you just screw it in. The only thing is that Be Quiet did not include a long stem screw. They don't include a screwdriver at all, and you will need a long stem screwdriver because, as you can see, you need to go through everything, and a lot of screwdrivers, especially like ones that are parts of kits, they won't be able to get through there. So it's something to keep in mind. But you can see the screw just goes right into there. It was actually really simple. Now, I do have to say, and then with the fans just use fan clips, and they go on the top here and then right under, and you can see there are vibration dampeners on each side to cut down on vibration. Now, I do have to say that I did install this outside of a case, and I think that most people will have to install this outside of the case, not only for the size of the cooler, but the fan installation, getting those clips to connect on, especially on the side that's closest to the top of your case. It's going to be very, it'd be easier to take your motherboard out of your case and do it. Believe me, I've tried to do big coolers like this, and it's just not fun. You scrape up your hands either on the heatsink or on the case or whatever.
Well, then you can bend the fins, and you know that now they're closer to each other, and they're not as efficient, and or they could separate from the heat pipe. Yeah,
yeah, and you can see if you look, you know, at this picture, I mean, there is some, like I said, but it's just easier to do it outside and then put everything back inside, I would say, in my opinion, when it comes to big coolers for the most part. But we went ahead and tested this. This is our first CPU cooler in a line of CPU cooler reviews coming, so we don't have anything to compare it against. Definitely stay tuned because I have boxes and boxes of CPU coolers because I just sent a bunch of requests out. So we have a lot of coolers, more coolers from Be Quiet. We have some Noctua stuff. We have Cooler Master stuff. We have Silverstone stuff. Like, we have a lot of stuff coming in here. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. But as far as temperatures go, if we look at this graph, idle temperature, 30 degrees Celsius, which is great. And then load one. So the way I'm doing testing now is I do a test just running A to 64 system stability test for 1 hour with just the CPU checked, And in our load test, it went up to 54 degrees Celsius. And then load two is like the ultimate test. And a lot of CPU coolers will fail at this, meaning that the processor will actually thermally throttle, especially Intel, especially newer Intel chips, because they're very hot. But it got up to 70 degrees. And this test is the same A to 64 system stability test with both the CPU and FPU enabled. And that's like the most hardcore CPU test that you can run in A to 64. Got up to 70 degrees, but it didn't fail. And that's the biggest thing we look with this test, if it fails or if it can handle it. And handle it, like I said, we were right around 70 degrees, which I feel is pretty good. As far as noise levels, that Silent Wings 3 fan is excellent. Noise wasn't all that loud at all. It was a little bit more audible in that load 2 test, but again, it doesn't sound like it's taking off, or it doesn't sound like it's, you know, a rocket ship, like say like the either the Intel or AMD stock coolers sound like if you're putting heavy load on the CPU. So I think this cooler is excellent. Another thing about this cooler, it's only 134 millimeters tall, whereas most tower style coolers, at least high performance ones, are anywhere from 150 to 165 millimeters tall. So you don't have the height restrictions that you would have with a tower cooler. Also, the way the fans are, the air is being pushed down, and that's going to help cool off your VRM. So if you do, if you are doing overclocking, or you just have a motherboard that doesn't have good VRM cooling, that's going to help out with cooling there as well. Now, Be Quiet is selling this. I would say it is an expensive cooler, $89.50, which is on the high side. But I think it's one of the few high performance coolers that is very quiet. And again, it does the other things like cool off the area around your CPU socket. And like I said, I like the cooler. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. Price is going to hold some people back. And then you, like I said, you'll have to install it outside of your case. Those are the two downfalls really. And they could have included a screwdriver. I think most people might have one that has a little bit of a longer stem, but some may not. So
yeah, some of those combo units where you like have six heads or whatever typically don't, but yeah, yeah. It kind of stinks they didn't include a longer one, but I like this cooler. Yeah. It looks pretty sweet. I like the look of it back there. Right. It looks enormous in your case behind you, that 135 millimeter fan.
Yeah.
Definitely moving some air.
But yeah, it's quiet, which I really like. I think a lot of people, we draw that fine line between performance and like noise. And, you know, when we're gaming, we're like, well, we have headphones on, so it doesn't matter. But like if you're doing any other type of work and your fans start to kick on and you're like, oh, man, it's so annoying. You know, sometimes. So I like just nice and quiet. I like it. So go ahead and check that out. That brings us to Case Mod Friday. And we have a build this week called Element 29. Do you know why it's called Element 29?
I'm guessing because of the copper.
Yeah, that's the whole idea behind this build. It's called Element 29 because obviously that's the number for copper. And this is just a lot of copper. EVGA kingpin card, which looks really sick because the power connections come out the end of the card.
I wish more cards were like that.
Yeah, I think the reason they don't do that is because of clearance in cases. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, look how nice that looks, and it kind of matches with the 24 pin here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, all copper. And these are actually like this. These are like real copper that he had bent and everything.
And polished and everything.
Okay. And polished. Yeah. So did we link the build log? Maybe we did. Yeah, we did. I can bring it up here. Let's see. So you can see, and he's using like an external radiator that he had built and everything.
Oh, nice. That looks sick. That's a nice desk setup.
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty cool, huh? Let me see if you can. I know he has it in here. Yeah, so like, you know, he has videos on how he, you know, see him polishing the everything. Wow. And doing all that, and it's pretty cool. Like I said, if you can go through some of these, you know, and see him doing all this stuff, you know, doing the external unit, which is an alpha cool unit, and yeah, just pretty cool stuff. Like I said, it's cool to see the full build logs and see, like, you know, we see this at the end, you know, but you don't know like all of the hours that really go into everything and how he's cooled everything. And
it's you know, radiator in another room. It's going through like a brush panel into another room.
I believe so. Yeah.
How awesome is that? You don't have to deal with the heat that your machine's putting out. You can just throw it into another room. Now, okay, so I'm glad you're showing this because I was looking at that distro plate and I couldn't tell if it had like a copper back to it.
On what? This?
No, on the distro plate for the case itself. It might be further down. But it looked like that was like... Yeah, keep going. That's still the GPU.
Yeah, yeah. How sweet is that?
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's just sexy looking.
Yeah, this is a great build log too.
Yeah, like I love so many of these. Like this is so. If you guys don't know, like I go out and find these every week, and I love to see people that like. That's why we link the build log, because I think people mm-hmm. should see it. Because there's some that are just like five pictures and you don't know how it's built. You don't know, like, you know, if I can find the build log, I always link it so you guys can see, like, here's him cutting. That's for this right here. Like, you know, just a little accents on this, and everything that was done is just pretty awesome. So like I said, definitely check it out. Element 29. I love all the bends in this though. They just look awesome. So yeah, definitely check that out. As I always say, we also have a full Case Mod Friday section, so you can go ahead and just get inspired and see what you can do with PC parts, which is, of course, pretty awesome. So yeah, that brings us to news this week and a bunch of different stories. Oh, also something I didn't add. Remind me at the end, there's a Battlefield 2042 thing that we have to talk about at the end of the news. Just remind me if you can remember. Yep.
I'll try to remember
because I had just watched it before I came in here. So I want to talk about it. So first is that the RX 6600 XT came out last week, I think. And it is very affordable. I think that with every launch, nobody cares anymore because you can't get them. And I think everybody's just over it. Right.
Yeah. I feel like that's still applicable. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the big thing about this card is since it's been out, people have been testing it for mining because AMD cards are not,
restricted.
They're not hash rate limited. Hash
limited. Yeah.
And AMD did say, at least for this version of cards and cards going forward, that they would not gimp them on any type of algorithm, whether it's mining or anything like that. People have been testing it for mining. You know, you can see in this picture here, it's only using 55 watts of power. And the hash rate is 32.16 in Ethereum, which is pretty good for that much power. And you can see kind of where it sits. Where is it at? Why can't I see it? Or is this just the... Oh, it's right here. So, so that's pretty good compared if you look at a lot of the other cards on this list. Even like a 1660 Ti, you know. So I think, like I said, this is going to be a good card for miners. They don't have to worry about NVIDIA, you know, pushing an update or putting out new cards, and you can buy a bunch of these when they do become available. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you think this is a way for AMD to sell cards?
I don't think it's the main reason, at least.
I mean, do you remember?
Feel like in the US, at least, no. Now, maybe in other markets, that might be the case, because I feel like all these large mining operations we see typically aren't based out of the US,
right?
For the most part. Not that there's not some here, right? There are. So I feel like in other markets, that might be the case. But I think people are in the US specifically are just still after cards for their main purpose of graphics and video gaming and things like that. And they may utilize it in the downtime for mining, but no, I think
I think that's kind of what changed with all these LHR cards is, like, if you spent a decent amount of money on a card, you're like, well, I can get that back if I mine. Mm-hmm. Now with LHR cards you can't, and now AMD is like, yeah, all of our cards will do whatever you want with them. I mean, I don't know. It definitely gives, you know, we always say that, like, NVIDIA always has a leg up, whether it's ray tracing, whether it's drivers, whether whatever it may
encoding,
be.
Yep.
performance. And I think this is one of the things that AMD does have over NVIDIA. And yeah. NVIDIA might be trying to save face saying like, oh, we're trying to get cards for gamers. But it's like, at the same time, you're limiting what the cards can do. And I've had this conversation a million times, but pretty cool. We'll see how popular this card gets when it, you know, for miners, because it is affordable. And it doesn't use a whole lot of power, and it does some decent mining, you know, in Ethereum. So, which crypto's coming back, if you haven't noticed.
Is it? I haven't paid attention.
Yeah, it was. So it was.
It dropped quite a bit, but then yeah, I saw it was like gradually gaining. I didn't know if it had really.
It dropped about 30%, and I have this app that tells me how like the percentage that what I have what goes down up and down, and it's like back to almost. And I started this like I started this like a month before it dropped, so it checks your
history,
you know. Yeah, it's sort of like connected to Coinbase, and it just like checks all your transactions, and it tells you like, here is your net loss, and it was like over 30%, and I was like, awesome. But it's gone now. It's like my net loss is like 5%, so we're coming back. So it's crypto's coming back, so that's good. But yeah, check, like I said, I think we're getting one of those into review. I'm pretty sure, but I'm 100% certain. So definitely stay tuned for that. Talking about getting AMD card. This is a funny story, a bad story for Power Color, I guess. Or actually, it's a bad, whoever is making the Power Color cards, per se, a customer received a card that looked like this. And if you're not familiar with with GPU cooling solutions, yeah, this looks good. You have your thermal paste here, and then you have all these stickers over all of the thermal pads or paste. These look like pads though. So if you guys don't know, a company makes this cooler, right? And when it's shipped to be assembled, it comes with these stickers all over the pads, so the pads don't stick to anything. And then somebody at the factory, which I've been to, puts this cooler on your card. So we actually have a video on this. I think it's like 5 years old by now, but the card itself goes through, which basically looks like a printer, and that's where the GPU gets assembled on it, and it's all these lasers and stuff, and then it comes down and it's just a card, and then there's people in the assembly line that actually put on the cooler and everything else. It's a pretty cool process. Again, we have a video if you want to check it out on the channel when I went there. But these are not supposed to be there. If you've ever, and I've done it, I don't know if you've done it, Ryan, but if you've installed a CPU cooler with with the little sticker there that goes on the thing, you'll be like, why is my CPU so hot? I think this person just
realized. I assume that's how they discovered it, right?
Either that or these blue stickers were hanging out, and they're like, why is that? But this was a Radeon RX 6700 XT from Power Color. I don't know who makes their cards, like what factory, but it's probably in the same area that the factory that we went to. So definitely some, and you wonder how many, if this is just a one-off, or how many were affected. And it's kind of sucks because taking off this cooler, it's like easy for us, but if you've never done it, I remember the first time I did it, I thought it was going to break
There's a lot of screws, and then you're like, you kind of have to pull on it because they, you know, that paste creates a suction. And not only do you have the paste on the GPU itself right there, but some of those other pads can be a little sticky too. And you're like, don't feel comfortable pulling this hard, or, you know, trying to twist it and get it to release its lock there.
Yeah. So that's pretty interesting. So hopefully they get that figured out. Hopefully it's not a whole bunch of cards, because wouldn't be good. This is not a gaming card, but I love the size of this thing, and this thing just looks cool. So NVIDIA announced their RTX 8200 workstation card. Look at that little thing.
I see it, like my first thought is, this is kind of cool, just neat looking novelty. And then I'm like, how loud is that fan?
Yeah, that's
it's true. It's a blower style fan, so it may not, it's not going to be quite as loud as just like a traditional fan of that size, but it's still got to be loud.
This guy's face, he's like real excited.
No. He's like, I have to show this thing off.
So it's Enterprise GPU, obviously. Up to 6 gigabytes of GPU memory, supports EEC. Just a little workstation card. Pretty cool. I love the size of this thing. It's just cool looking. So obviously we're not going to talk about that much because, again, it's a workstation card. It's not anything you guys are going to buy. Talking on the mobile side of things, somebody tested a AMD Radeon RX 6700M, and it was 9% faster than an RTX 3070 laptop GPU. I love this, and I love the competition in the mobile space. The problem is that you don't see enough of it, not only on the GPU side, but on the CPU side too. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think AMD is as aggressive as like in making these deals, because they have to make the deals with, you know, what is this, an MSI laptop, like with MSI, you know, NVIDIA does a lot of that. And NVIDIA does a lot of the exclusives too. Like, you know, this is the exclusive card that you can use. We'll send you a bunch of money, that kind of stuff. But it's good to see a 6700M, 9% faster than a 3070 laptop GPU. I'm all about nice. That. Wonder how hot it gets though. But yeah, pretty cool. A lot of good laptops are coming.
Is this a new logo from MSI?
Yes, it's their new. I forget what they're calling it, but yes, I've
not seen this yet.
You like it because you hate that dragon.
I do.
Logo.
I was like, all right, I can get behind.
You
this
like
one.
This over the dragon? I like
that. Oh yeah, oh, for sure.
No, this looks. I don't know. I don't like that one. But we are going to see a lot of new laptop stuff, just because it is. It's August 12th. I mean, getting closer to holiday season. That's when we see, you know, a lot of laptop stuff. And this laptop, I want this laptop so bad, this next one. So the Asus ROG Zephyrus Duo SE15 was leaked. It has a Ryzen 9 5980HX CPU in it. If you're not familiar with this laptop, the Zephyrus Duo was launched a few years back, or maybe it was last, no, it was 2 years ago, I think. Basically, you had a, you know, normal screen, then you had a smaller screen here, and a lot of people developed stuff that you could use this smaller screen for. It is a really nice laptop.
I don't think I would like the touchpad being to the left of the keyboard.
I don't like the touchpad on a laptop in general. I just think it's a waste of space because I never
use it. Well, I mean, like, oh, you don't ever, you just hook up a mouse?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, gotcha. But yeah, this is one amazing laptop. That CPU is going to be awesome. I think I might buy one of these. I don't know.
Really? That's huge.
I think I just want to play with it and then just send it back.
No, don't be that guy.
I don't know. I might, you know, I'm talking about going in stores that we talked about at the beginning of this, that I haven't been in forever. Maybe I'll go in a Best Buy and look at one.
Yeah.
You know,
you got more options out there in California. You can,
like what?
Find somewhere to see that. Well, don't you guys, I guess you guys don't have Fry's isn't around anymore.
Fry's
is
gone.
Do you have Micro Center?
I think.
Is there like another like chain or I just assume that there would be more options out there.
Let's see. I think Micro Center. There is definitely Micro Centers here. Let me see. What does this say?
Yeah, I know there are. I've seen other content creators put out stuff.
No, there's not. The closest Micro Center to me is
like all in LA.
Yeah, it's all the way up by. Well, it's in Huntington or Irvine, California. So it's an hour and 38 minutes.
Yep. Right now. Guess you got to drive ahead of you.
Yeah. So in the chat, old man is in the chat. Good to see you. He goes, hey guys, just got back from work. Well, glad your workday's over and thanks for tuning in. And if you guys are in the chat, want to say what's up, definitely go ahead and do that. Yeah, Old Man just said he wishes he was close to a Micro Center. Yeah, I mean, that's how it was when I lived in Pittsburgh. It was like the closest Micro Center was like 3.5 hours away. And in Pittsburgh, we did have Best Buy. But I mean, for so many years, Best Buy didn't sell components. So like, you go in Best Buy now, there's GPUs, there's CPUs, there's all that stuff. Before, you could,
well,
they
had them a long time ago. Then they got rid of them, and now they've brought them back.
Yeah, because we used to have CompUSA. CompUSA was the place. And then all of those in the Pittsburgh area went out of business. So then if you had to get a PC, like if you had to get a part, you had to order it online. It was like Newegg, and that was before Amazon was like what Amazon is now. So it was like mostly like Newegg you had to order from back in the day. So yeah, it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of, I'm glad that I'm honestly glad that Best Buy kind of embraced like PC and gamers a lot more, where you can go in there and you can get a case, you can get a graphics card, you can get a CPU cooler, you can get a lot of stuff in there now, whereas you couldn't before, and it was only like the Fry's or the Micro Centers. So, you know, I think
did you ever buy from Zip Zoom Fly? Do you remember that?
And then they changed
it to like Google Gear, and then Google bought the name.
I do remember that, but I don't. I remember that name, but I don't think I ever ordered anything from there.
Gotcha.
So it was like Frozen CPU was one of the big ones.
Yeah,
we've talked about them multiple times. But it was mostly like new. It was for me. It was mostly Newegg.
Yeah, Tiger Direct, maybe.
Yeah, Tiger Direct. I remember that. Yeah. Whatever happened to Tiger Direct? Are they still a thing?
I don't think so. Somewhere we were talking about, or was it last week in chat, we were talking about the computer shopper magazines and stuff.
Yeah.
That you'd like, I know we had one when I was growing up that was like an inch and a half thick of just ads for computers. And I just remember just like pouring through that thing as a kid going, oh, I want that. And this would be so cool. And just like seeing the prices on things was insane.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Talking about gamers and stuff. Razer announced some accessories for their keyboards. You can see one of them here, which I think is the best one out of all the accessories. So they first released a Phantom keycap set, which is like a stealth look. So that's what it looks like. They're all black keys, which is a little weird. Mm-hmm. That is popular amongst some people. So this is their first thing, which is the stealth keys. The second thing, which I think is long overdue, is, I mean, the Razer green is like iconic. That Razer green, I have a Razer headset that's all green like that, which I love, because like everybody at like the LAN party would see you with like the crazy Razer green headset. I mean,
well, and I love my favorite use of the green is on their laptops on the USB ports. Like, I think that's so cool for the little tab. Instead of blue, it's that green. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so they have a keycap set as well as a coiled cable, which I think is great because they do have that 65% keyboard, the Huntsman Mini, I believe that's what it's called. And, you know, everybody who is in that smaller keyboard always wants a coiled cable. So it's good to see one from Razer. It's not the coolest looking cable, but it's still pretty cool. And if it does match your the keycaps, it's good, because you can like get one made, but the neon green might not be the perfect neon green, and it's going to look a little weird if you do something like that. So pretty cool. And then they have a new wrist rest. You can see right there if you're into the wrist rest thing. I don't use it. Do you use a wrist rest?
I have the wrist rest on my K65. It's not as deep as that one. That one's pretty like
deep.
But usually I'm not, no. But I do use it on this
keyboard. Maybe I should try, because I used to have one that was really nice. Maybe I should go back to it. I don't know. I think you're like so used to not using one.
Yeah, I think the reason I use it on this keyboard is because the keys themselves sit up higher. I used to be used like keyboards I previously used had just lower profile keys. They weren't mechanical, right? The body was a little thinner and flatter, So I didn't use it because my hand would be closer to them. I think with moving to a mechanical keyboard, I do prefer to use a wrist rest.
Gotcha. Yeah, I might have to go back to There's so many nice ones. There's like ones that has like the epoxy inlays and like they're like $400 and
the wood ones that they epoxied and look real nice and
Also Steam Deck, people have been asking if it will support Windows 11. Mm-hmm. One of the Steam developers said that obviously one of the, and we've talked about this a lot, one of the big hurdles to Windows 11 is TPM. They're working with AMD on this because it's AMD powered. So it looks like it will support Windows 11 when that does become available. If you wanted to, I guess you wouldn't even call it flash. You just like install it on there because it, you essentially wouldn't be flashing anything. You'd just be installing it, taking their old OS off of it, the Steam OS off of it. So, pretty cool to see that. Old Man says, he says, I have a pad on my mouse pad. I think it helps. Yeah, I haven't. I used one of those like a long time ago and it was like real comfortable. One of the ones that kind of like, I don't know, you were like, oh, not memory foam, but like it was like, and it was like always cool to the touch. Do you remember those? So you get like a mouse pad and then the end would be like a, like a,
had the little blob or whatever.
Yeah. It was kind of comfortable. I haven't used one like that in a while. Probably because like I started playing like,
I was going to say, you're playing games. My wrist doesn't stay in that spot.
Yeah. Well, so I started playing Counter-Strike and then I couldn't, I needed a big mouse pad because I used a super low DPI. And then, I just couldn't do that anymore. Weirdo. So.
It's still weird to me.
That's what the pros used, dude.
I know.
Talking about crazy stuff. Gigabyte servers were hacked. 112 gigabytes of confidential documents might have been leaked. This is pretty crazy. We did see this. I saw this on Twitter a week and a half ago, and then it's been confirmed that there was a hack. Nobody knows what the data is, obviously. I know Gigabyte does have a bunch of, obviously a ton of data, user data, a lot of other stuff that could be on there as well. So Gigabyte is working with law enforcement to figure this out, but this happens all the time. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Data exfiltration and encryption.
It's
still pretty common.
Yeah. And we saw this happen with Asus as well. With their, what was that software called? With their companion software. We did see that. So moving on to gaming. It appears that there might be a Grand Theft Auto trilogy remaster coming. So the original Grand Theft Auto trilogy came out 2005. Which was a compilation of GTA 3, GTA Vice City. That's so long ago.
Yeah.
And just to think GTA of those games. But I mean, no, just like 2005 is when like the trilogy came out where you could get all the games, which is GTA 3, GTA Vice City, and GTA San Andreas. 2005. Wow. Yeah. So there might be a remaster for it. I think a lot of people are like itching for GTA 6, which apparently won't come out for at least probably, they said 2026. Ugh. So not for a while. So I think
this could be pretty popular, right? Think of how many people are like started on GTA 5 or maybe 4. And then if this comes out for current consoles and everything, like you're going to get a whole group of people that maybe didn't want to play these games because they're like, they look like crap and aren't, they don't look great or aren't available on this console. And they come out now. Oh yeah, these will sell.
And like I think crazy. it's a good holdover for people waiting who have played through GTA 5. Like I think almost all of us have at this point, and they just want some more GTA action, some more story. And it is Rockstar did have on like when they had their like, I don't know if it's like a financial call or they did say that they had. Three remakes or remastered that are scheduled for 2022. So this could easily be one of them. So it'd be cool to see. I think, I mean, we're getting to that point, man, when it comes to like all entertainment, it's just like remakes, remasters. Everybody wants, like, it's nostalgia, man. That's just what it is. You know?
Yeah. Old man says he'd buy a remaster. He'd like to see Vice City with the enhanced graphics, modern graphics. That's one I never played.
I think I played a little bit of
I played GTA 3, like, at a buddy's house on PS2, I think it was. I never had a PS2 to play it, so, like, we played quite a bit. And then I didn't... I played GTA 4, I guess. But I didn't play any of the, like, Vice City or San Andreas or...
I think I played all of them, but I don't remember. Okay. That's so long ago, too. I mean, that's a very long time ago.
Yep.
So it'd be interesting to see that. Another really interesting story came out recently about the Epic Game Store. So obviously, if you're not familiar, Epic Game Store, basically Epic started their own online store to compete with Steam. Their big thing was they were only going to take, so Steam takes 30%. So if you sell a game for $100, you get 70, Steam gets 30. I did the math right? and when Epic Games came out, I forget what was their sharing model. We actually did an article on it. Was they would only take 12%. So you as the creator would actually get 88% instead of 70%. And if you're selling a lot of, I mean, that's a lot of money. That was their big selling point. And then we did see over the, since Epic launched, we not only saw exclusives, so Epic would pay a bunch of cash to whoever. They did it with Borderlands 3. That was the real big one. That would launch exclusively on the Epic Game Store first for like 6 months. And then after the 6 months, you could buy it on Steam. We saw that with a ton of games that were exclusives. Also, every week, Epic gives out free games. I mean, they're trying to get people to use the Epic Game Store. It appears that they're not profitable yet. I guess Epic and Apple have a lawsuit going on right now. And in that lawsuit, people kind of dug through the lawsuit, and it appears that Epic Games is not profitable. They don't expect to be profitable until 2027 at the earliest. And in the court filings, Epic lost around $181 million in 2019, and they're projected to lose around they were projected to lose around $273 million in 2020. And they committed $444 million in guarantees in 2020 alone, while projected significant growth. And they're expected to lose around $131 million at least in 2021. It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money to be losing.
I always say, though, like, just that Fortnite money is just keep on coming in. That's how they're supporting this. I mean, that has to be how they're supporting this. I mean, for a good part of it. They say they've already sunk at least $500 million in initial investment into Epic Game Store. And I think this makes you realize, you know, this is why Steam takes that 30%, right?
Yeah.
Because this is not
in order to stay profitable.
This is not an easy thing to do. It's also not an easy thing where we've been so conditioned to Steam for so long to bring out something different. There's going to be a lot of hesitation. It's not going to have the same features, and it didn't have the same features. Cloud saves weren't part of when it launched. Like, there was a lot of stuff that was missing. I think they are doing the right thing. It's just, can they sustain this much loss till 2027?
Right. Can you expect Fortnite to continue to be the behemoth and moneymaker that it is for that long in order to start making even more money? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a long way from now, right?
And that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if it's not profitable 2027, they've already lost. I mean, that would be close to $1 billion. That's a lot of money.
It is.
I mean, that's a lot of money to, you know, to lose. Hopefully, I mean, those losses, hopefully they get under that 100 million, you know, hopefully they go down. So maybe by 2027 or 2025, they're losing 25 million, you know, instead of 139. Right,
kind of falls
you know?
Off a bit.
Hopefully. Yeah. So we shall see. Since I reminded myself and you didn't remind me,
we weren't at the end yet.
The Battlefield. Yeah. So there was this. I'm going to try to find it. Watch it won't come up for me. Oh, here it is right here. So EA or I guess EA put out this it's actually pretty it's so cool because it's like I'll just play it. Muted here. But it's basically this short film. It's only 9 minutes long. And what's cool about it, it's shot sort of like live action, but also digitally. It's really, and it's like, I guess it's getting you into the story of Battlefield 2042.
Okay.
It's really good. And you can see some of it here on the screen, everybody who's watching on the video. But if not, definitely go check it out. I just found it on IGN's YouTube, but I think it's on Battlefield YouTube and everywhere else. It's a really, really, it gets you into the game. And I like that The Division did this when they had their games come out. Halo did this with their Halo, you know, their series. It just like gets you into the game. And it's called Exodus. And it's just like it's an intro into the world that you're going to be thrown into in Battlefield 2042, which is really cool. So check it out. It's on YouTube. I thought it was cool. I love when games do this because so many games, the story's not good or you're not excited for the story. And this just brings you into that, right? Mm-hmm. Again, that's what The Division did. That's why I got The Division initially was for. What did they call that? It was like a mini movie.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No, and I've played The Division quite a bit.
I'm pretty sure I can find it. Let's go.
Now all I'm seeing is that there's a Division movie coming out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Agents of Origin, right here. 2.3 million views, or this one. Well, I mean, who's this?
Agent Origins. Huh, okay.
Yeah. 31 minutes, man. It's like a whole movie.
Dang! No,
but I think... That. So this was, yeah, and this is like full like live action. It was really done well, I thought. This is what got me into The Division. So I was like, oh man, this is really cool.
No, what got me into The Division was like, I think it was maybe an EA trailer that got put out, or is like some real early gameplay and collaboration of like people using the voice communications and everything. And just some of the stuff they were doing. I was just like, oh, I'm getting this game as soon as it comes out. And that was like 2 years ahead of its launch.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. It's like this, whatever happens in this thing. And then like the agents get like activated and they're like, this girl's just sitting there. You think she's like the nicest person. And then she gets like activated and it's like
gone. Yeah. It's badass. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good. And like I said, I like that Battlefield's doing that. I think The Division needed to do that more than Battlefield. But
yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I mean, it was nice that they had Tom Clancy's name behind them, right, to give it some
credit. Oh, yeah.
Right? But yeah, they probably have to do that a little more than the Battlefield series.
Yeah, yeah, so next time you want to watch a show, just put on that movie. It's good. You'll have to watch it.
Is it not on YouTube?
It is on YouTube. Just type in The Division or Division live action or Division short film, and you'll be able to find it. Since I know how to internet better than you. Old man said Battlefield 5 was free last week through Amazon Games as long as you had Prime. There you go. Boom. That's another good Battlefield game for sure. So check that out. Also, coming up next week, there is a new case coming out from Fractal Design. That's all I can tell you. So stay tuned for that. Also, the same day, new memory from Lexar is coming out. So we have that. So we have two launches on the same day next week. Also, I didn't finish my review of this mouse, which is pretty cool. I'll get it in front of my face. So it, wait, right there. So you can kind of see it. This is the Rocket Cone Pro Air wireless gaming mouse. You can see the cool, it looks pretty cool because of the
semi-transparent,
semi-transparent LEDs. I like that. The LEDs, but very lightweight mouse, as you can see, wireless. So I will have that for you guys next week as well. So so we're coming to the end here, and we talk about tech related stuff. You done anything tech related this past week, or watched anything, watched any new movies, any of that kind of stuff?
No. Looking around here, I don't think I have.
I this is not tech related, but I think it's a crazy story. There's a new documentary on Netflix. It's like a 6-part series called Cocaine Cowboys.
About that, yeah.
Well, no. So I watched the older documentaries, the older cocaine. This is like brand new, like just made about this family that like was obviously like running drugs in Miami. But the whole story of it is like insane, how like they got caught, but like they, like the feds thought they had like this crazy case against them. They're going to put them away for life. And they were like completely acquitted. And they didn't find out till years later that they like paid off people on the jury, and like this, it's crazy story. It's just this crazy and it's like 6 1-hour long episodes. Like it's really long. Just an insane story. It's like the '80s, man. It's like crazy stuff. So that's definitely worth checking out. I think beyond that, just working on reviews. I think that's about it. So I guess we'll go ahead and end things here. I guess we are going to be gaming, which we usually do after the podcast. We're going to head on over to Twitch. That's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And head on over there. Ryan will have the stream up here shortly, playing some Apex Legends, which I wasn't as excited last week for the new season and the new legend, but now champion. The new champion. I watched a bunch of people play today, so I'm pretty excited to play. So and I have to test this mouse because I've been using this, but I haven't really played like a long extended gaming with this mouse, so I'm excited to get into that and do all of that. So
cool.
Again, we will be over there, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. I want to thank everybody who was here for the live stream, and of course everybody that listens later on. If you do want to hang out with us during the week, we're obviously on social media. You can also check out our Discord. Just go to thinkcomputers.org/discord. It will drop you right into our Discord server. You can chat with us. We have a memes channel in there, and we can do all kinds of fun stuff. So definitely check that out as well. And we will see everybody here next week.